And here we go. We bring in the professor, Ron Wotus, the third base coach of the Giants. This is the last regular season road game for you. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought it up. I haven't really given it a lot of thought just because of the fact that we're in this pennant race and every game is so important that that's on my mind first and foremost. And I expect to play a lot more road games, whether it's regular season or not. So I'm doing fine. Looking forward to the off day tomorrow and then the last week at home.
What are you guys feeding Belt? The last 40 games, 18 home runs. Let's talk Belt, really, because what a week for him, starting with the captain thing that we had last week with Longoria and the electrical tape. But, man, this guy has just picked it up. And, you know, in baseball history, you find people that put the team on their back in September, and the guy is doing it.
Yeah, he really is. And we've all seen this potential out of him. He's always had a couple of great months with the Giants, and then injuries, or he would struggle for a period of time. But this is obviously the best stretch I've ever seen him. And I just think it's maturity, it's confidence, it's a winning team. You know, these guys are really having a good time in the clubhouse and amongst each other. You got Belt, Craw, Pose, you know, Longo. We have the veterans and the veteran pitchers that have been through this type of thing. And he's really just feeling good about himself, about the team, and about his swing. And another thing I'll say is, you know, I think he's well rested. You know, I think when you play 162 games and you're in there every day, it's harder to give that same focus, day in and day out for 4-hour games sometimes. And he's really excited about where we're at and what we're doing.
How'd you like the whole captain thing this week with his crew? What about that?
Yeah, I liked it. It was a real good bit. You know, I mean, as bits go, that was really good, and he does it with such confidence. He acts like it's nothing out of the ordinary. You know, it's just like a normal activity for him, which really makes you chuckle. And he's got that sense of humor. He really does, that dry sense of humor. He is a guy that likes to joke around and have fun. So I thought it was well done. I saw something on the internet, one of our coaches showed me they broke the home run record, right, for this season.
Right.
And there's a picture of Belt in the front of it in saluting with the sailors behind him. So he's getting a lot of play with that.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific. And, you know, we talked about this last week, that every team going down the stretch, whether it's the Red Sox taking shots of tequila, everybody needs that looseness going down the stretch. And I wondered what it would be for the Giants, and I think it happened. And I think that this is what the team needed, because you guys are still in a very intense race here with the Dodgers, let's face it. You know, up by two with seven to go. We know you're going to be in the playoffs, and October's coming. But, you know, you need that relaxation. This is still an intense race.
Yeah, and as I said, we have guys that have been through it. So, you know, you wouldn't know it walking into our clubhouse that we were in such an intense race. And as you're saying, with Belt's levity, really, really helps the moments. But, you know, this group, I think day in and day out, they prepare and are as focused as any club I've been on every single day. And I think that's been our strength, and it's showing up in our record with over 100 wins. It doesn't matter if it's a Monday night in Pittsburgh or you know, L.A. On a Sunday MLB game. There's no difference to these guys. And I think it's really showing up in our play.
The playoffs are going to be a little different. You know, usually you go into the playoffs with, you know, the Bumgarner, Lincecum, Kane. You know what you're going to get for seven innings and, you know, strikeouts and all that. Right now the starting pitching is okay, and I love what Gausman has done, and I talked about it in the open today. That to me, he's still the guy when you look at what he can do. But the playoffs are going to be a little different now. You got to get your 27 outs any way you can. So for you, this is a little different getting ready for the playoffs.
Well, it is. We've always had, you know, really, really strong starting pitching, and at least two or three guys in that run. And we, Gausman and Webb, and Disco's done a fine job. But I think one thing that I recognize is we've been playing like this for an awfully long time now, and the bullpen is ready to come in at any moment to do what they have to do. When we've been able to shuffle our bullpen with fresh arms down to AAA and back. So you're right. At the same time, this is how we play. And so if we keep grinding at bats and we do everything that we've been doing during the regular season, hopefully it won't affect us one bit.
No, it's going to be different, but I agree with you. This is the way you play, and you grind it out. Speed had a big part of the game last night in the big inning where Belt hit the three-run homer. John Gray got distracted with Duggar and hit Solano, and next thing you knew, it was a three-run shot. Speed was part of it last night.
Yeah, Steven Duggar. I mean, you know, it's hard to put onto paper what speed does to a pitcher or it does on a baseball field. And we don't have a whole lot of it, right? But I thought Steven Duggar last night, once he got that base hit and got on base, you know, Gray was worried about him stealing. They were throwing over on him. He was slide-stepping. And Solano was up, and he's trying to be too quick to the plate, distracted with the runner, hit Solano, and then here we go. And then when he was at second, Duggar, they were worried about him there, and Gray doesn't slide-step a lot, which means get rid of the ball a little bit quicker to deliver it home, for those listeners that don't really understand the slide-step. And he didn't make his pitch, and boom, here we go. The captain got him. So, you know, that doesn't show up in the stats, but it's a real thing. It's a real thing. You know, good base runners, fast base runners have always put pressure on the pitcher. And that's what you want to do, is make them feel you when you're on the bases. So they're a little distracted.
Why is it so tough to play in Coors? And I know the altitude. Let's forget about that for a second. But this I remember the first time I saw the infield at Coors, I said, it's like a double dirt infield. It's the biggest infield I've ever seen. And the outfield, what makes Coors so tough to play?
Well, one is the altitude, the oxygen level when you come in. You do feel it as an athlete, catching your breath. But I think what you feel more than just the actual oxygen is it can wear you down because there's typically long games here. And I think the hitters love playing here, but obviously it's tough for a pitcher. And pitchers that pitch in this park, they're not used to giving up two or three runs early in the game, and that flusters them. But you really have to play nine innings. You have to keep your concentration and your focus. You can't get discouraged by giving up a few home runs and thinking the game is over when you're playing in a pitcher's park. So for the pitchers, mentally, it's extremely difficult. And I think for the position players, I'm standing in the outfield right now, Marty, and this is the biggest orchard in baseball.
Really?
I mean, there is so much grass. And these outfielders, they do a lot of running. But I think the place just wears you down with the length of the games. And then mentally, you have a five-run lead in the sixth, and it's like a one-run lead anywhere else. So it's just a grind, and I think that makes it more difficult for the players.
Yeah, the outfield is gigantic. They could have a peach orchard out there, right?
That would be nice, yes, yes. A good peach. I love a good peach. I think they grow those out by River Island somewhere, don't they?
Really? Come on, they got the farmer's market out there. That's another thing we got to do. We got to go out and see the farmer's market. Colleen says it's really terrific, and we got, baseball at Islanders Field. Hey, very good. I'm glad you worked that in well. Very good.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no better place to go in the fall than River Islands because of all the things that you just mentioned. And, maybe in early November we can take a trip out there.
Well, we will definitely do that. I'm looking forward to going out there with you. Hey, we had a crazy play this week, and I can't wait to get your thoughts on it. I'm sure everyone kicked it around. Kiermaier, you know, he slides into home. He dislodges the catcher a little bit, and the scouting card falls out. and he picks it up and he keeps it. And they didn't return it right away, and it led to Kiermaier getting hit a couple of days later and all that. What did you think of all that, that whole incident of picking up the card and saying, hey, it's a scouting report on how they're going to pitch to me?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to think of it, Marty. I mean, cards falling out of your pocket, and then they're hitting somebody. You're supposed to give that back. I thought it was finders keepers, or what was that old saying?
Finders keepers, losers weepers, right.
That's exactly right. I think it's over the top to hit somebody for that. If you can't keep your scouting information away from the opposing team, well, then that's on you. And I think it really is I won't use that word. I think it's ridiculous that they hit him for that. And, you know, we have to deal with it all the time. I mean, all the time in the clubhouses, you know, you lock up your trunks, you lock up your scouting information.
Really? 'Cause
it's well documented. Oh, yeah, clubbies. Over the years, you know, people would come in, they'd look for information, they'd pass it along. Well, we found numerous scouting reports over the years. We found the cards that you're talking about, signs of opposing teams, because the coaches, you know, sometimes they forget it's in the back of their locker. And this happens routinely. So to hit somebody over this, I think is absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know what's going on in the game with that.
Okay, very good. I'm glad I asked you that question. I really didn't know how you were going to approach it, but you're right. And it leads me to the next question, which is sign stealing. And, we see this constantly with, you know, which is going to lead us to another question about intentional balks. But is sign stealing that much more prevalent now where everyone is going nuts with these cards and putting fingers up in the air and everything else? Is it changed?
The only thing that really has changed is the technology where, you know, people are studying film to see the catcher's signs and the sequences that they use. And now the runners at second base will try to relay that sequence because they already have a heads up on what it is. I mean, there's a lot of people in the game, front office personnel, that are just there to do this, as well as coaches looking for these advantages. And, you know, the other thing that has probably changed a little bit are the tips by the pitcher. When I say changed, it's evolved in being taking on a life of itself. You know, if a pitcher sets higher on his fastball or sets lower on his breaking ball, you would always pick up the obvious ones. But, again, there's people that are watching video constantly to see if you can pick up any tip on the pitcher so you know what's coming. So that has gotten a little more detailed and prevalent in the game. But the other sign stealings, like the coaches stealing my third base signs or me watching Buddy Black to see his throwovers, et cetera, it's just different ways people are doing it, and that's been going on for 100 years.
Yeah, I remember the third base coach, or the manager used to coach third, and you've done that in the minor leagues, would
right.
look in and try to see the cat. Remember the catcher signs? Sometimes you could see the catcher signs and relay that to the hitter, but I guess you can't do that anymore. I guess catchers are so tight now that you could never see the sign, I imagine.
Well,
that's true.
No, Marty,
no?
I'll tell you, no. I see signs all the time, and so do other base coaches. And, again, that's been going on for 100 years as well. You know, the thing about stealing and relaying signs is you have to be accurate when you pass along or you send that tip to the hitter in the moment. Because the last thing a hitter is going to do is believe you. If you tell them, hey, you give them a sign that a fastball is coming and they throw a breaking ball, well, you're done. Mm-hmm. So you have to be 100% sure. It's not as easy as it sounds on paper. You can get the sequences. You can get the signs, but it's always not as easy to relay it to the hitter and have the hitter trust it and actually utilize it. Our club, we have some really, really good hitters, and I think whether they get the signs or they don't get the signs, they're going to hit because they're just really good hitters.
Yeah, they don't chase, I'll tell you that, and that's the big part for me. They make you throw a pitch, and when they get their pitch, they hit it. All right, leads me to the next question. And that, we've seen it, I've never seen it before, the intentional balk. So you get the runner on second base, and you want to get him off second base. You've got a two-run lead. It's the extra inning, so his run doesn't matter. and you want to get him off second base so he can't relay signs. How do you like that?
Well, that's, you know, it's again, it's something that really happens in today's game because of the technology and the effort people are putting into looking at video and trying to get these sequences. So, you know, and half of this stuff about the signs, if you're paranoid and you're thinking the team is relaying the signs, well, you're going to do this stuff. They may not even be given the signs. But if you, you know, and this has been going around for years. We always thought in Arizona there would be a light up there when Buck Showalter took over in Arizona in rags. I'll never forget. We thought there was a blinking light letting them know when a fastball was coming because they were hitting the ball and they were crushing the ball against us. And that's usually what happens when you have good hitters and they're doing things at the plate like we are. People are they're thinking that something's awry, that we're not doing it on the up and up. Now, back to your question. I saw Kenley Jansen do it. So in your situation, why leave the guy at second? The situation just laid out. If there's any possibility he's going to relay location or the sign, just balk him to third. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it a couple times, and I really think it's a good play to take away that worry that he's relaying signs or that fear or worrying about changing your signs on your card with the pitcher, right? You see them do that. They throw a couple pitches and they say, hey, three, we're going to go with sign set three instead of sign set two. And you got to keep changing them. So it alleviates all that distraction.
Boy, that this is a difference in the game for me. I don't remember seeing that. But all right, you know, I understand the principle, but they're definitely more intense about it. And that, for me, is the change. You know, you're going to have a playoff game. Hopefully you're going to hang in there with seven to go. You got the two-game lead, and look, it's baseball. Anything can happen. But this marathon, woe is coming to an end. It's sort of like having a baby. You know, it will end. Something will happen. And
right.
It's pretty exciting to think that one way or another, you guys within about a week, 10 days, 12 days, are going to be playing playoff games again. How about that?
Yeah, no, it's you're exactly right. You go to spring training, you're down there for, you know, 6 to 7 weeks. It's a great analogy, like having a baby. I don't know if the women out there agree to that, but the length of time that it takes, it will end. Yeah, 9 months, and then here we go. We step into the playoffs. So, you know, the great thing is that to be in a pennant race, to have this opportunity, because there's so many teams that don't. And when you're playing the last week of the season and you really don't have a chance to play to go to the playoffs, there's nothing worse than that. And so we're all very fortunate to be here. And that's why you're rejuvenated this time of year. And you have to approach every game from here to the end like it is a playoff game, which will get us ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the other question I have. Is it better to be intense right up to 162, or do you like to have a week off and kind of take it easy and play a whole bunch of people and sort of, you know, give the pitchers a break? What's better, to go intensely to the end or just to ease into it?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question to answer. I could tell you, you know, with our experience and my experience, I think when you have long layoffs, sometimes you come out a little bit stale. Or it works against you. To your point, it is really nice to give your players some days off to be fresh, get the pitching staff, you know, rested up, set your rotation. That's the big thing. Having the right pitchers going into the playoff series, that's the number one benefit to having the time off for me, and then along with resting people. But our experience is bad. I think when you're playing good, and you're playing meaningful games, and you don't have a long layoff, that carries right into the playoffs. And I think we've been more successful in that manner than any other way. And, you know, one team that concerns me right now in the playoffs are the St. Louis Cardinals, because they're on that type of run. And we've done it a couple times with the wild card. And sure, we were tired. You get days off in the playoffs. In between two games, you get an off day. So personally, for me, if I was to choose one, I want to play meaningful games and carry that right into the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Great. I'm glad to hear it. You know, you brought up the Cardinals. They've won 15 in a row, Will. And look, what are they going to win, 25 in a row? I mean, at some point they have to start losing, and you wonder what's going to happen. But this is a franchise record for the St. Louis Cardinals, winning 15 in a row. And this Cardinal franchise goes back into the 1890s. And in those days, an owner owned two teams. So the owner of the Cleveland Spiders also owned the Cardinals. And he decided, well, the Spiders aren't doing so good. I'm going to send my best players to the Cardinals. And that's how the Cardinals sort of became a very good team. How about that?
Wow. Well, once again, Marty, only the rabbi would have that information. Well done. I would have never imagined that. And so that's where they probably had the record winning streak. And what they're doing now, you know, I guess to some people, maybe, as you said, maybe they're due to lose. I don't know. It depends on how you look at these things. But I certainly don't look at it like that. When you're playing well, you're playing well. And they'll be a concern going into the playoffs if they can keep this positive roll up.
Yeah, the Cleveland Spiders lost 134 games. And then they sent some players to the Cardinals, and that was the story there. And in those days, the Dodgers and the Baltimore Orioles were owned by the same player, and they did the same thing. So baseball was crazy then. It was a different world. Different world.
Hey, that really is. In 134 losses. That's frightening. That turns my stomach sitting here. I can't imagine going through that.
Very good. Hey, one thing to talk about as we wrap it up, and it's great to talk to you. And you know, we've got next Sunday, of course, will be a big day, the last day of the regular season, and I think hopefully you guys will have it well wrapped up by that time. But you know, the way you come into a season in today's world, if you're over 30 years old, baseball doesn't want to look at you. And you guys turned it around. The core of the team, you guys don't blink. The core of the team told everyone in the baseball world, hey, we can play baseball. I think that's kind of special.
Yeah, it is. I think everybody pulls for, you know, the veterans, the stars. I mean, you know, look at what these guys have accomplished in their career, the Longos and the Craws and the Belts and the Posies. And I know I'm probably leaving somebody out, but, you know, it is special to see these guys having the year that they're having when everybody doubts you. And I think when you're good as these guys are and, you know, you hear the doubters, I think that's extra motivation. And I think we've done a wonderful job with keeping them well rested. This is probably because of our depth, the best we've been able to rest people throughout the season, even yesterday. You know, we got Chris Bryant out. We have Yaz not starting the game. And we're able to still win the game because we have such depth. And I think that's helped everybody on the club. I know it's helped the veterans because they need their time off. This game is a grind for them. Longo got the day off yesterday and came in for defense and made a very difficult play. So Cap's using everybody just right. And I agree 100%. It really makes me feel good to have our veteran leadership having the years that they're having.
Yeah, it's going to be a great playoff story. So here's the last thought. Is Belt still wearing the sailor outfit? Because he can make you an admiral. Maybe that's the next step.
Hey, Marty, don't give him any ideas, okay? I don't want to go into the clubhouse today. Can't find my pants and my nice shirt, which I like to dress fairly decent on the planes, and have an admiral suit in there. Okay, so can we? This isn't live, is it?
I'm sure, Belt is not up yet. Believe me.
But
maybe Kai may be listening, and he may tell Belt. But we'll see. They're going to do something for you. I guarantee it. Come on, you deserve it, and I'm sure if this thing's wrapped up by then. You're going to be coaching third in the Admiral outfit.
Okay. All right. I'll look forward to that, I guess.
All right, Will. Hey, have a great day and enjoy it. And it's a great pennant race. And you guys are in decent shape. You got the right pitcher on the mound today. I like Gausman still. You know, you look at all his numbers, and I know the split isn't perfect. But, boy, he's still a tough guy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And, you know, he's been outstanding the last 2 years with us. He's our guy, you know, and, we're going to need him. We're going to need him. And, he knows what's at stake. So, we'll get a good start out of him today. And, we'll see where we're at, you know, after the today.
All right. Have a good afternoon, and I'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
Same here, Marty. Great being with you as always.
All right. Take care. All right. That is our third base coach, the Admiral. He's now the professor and the Admiral. How about that? All right. That is Ron Wotus. All right. More coming up. Bill is going to interview, excellent interview coming up with Ken Davidoff, who's a columnist, a longtime baseball columnist for the New York Post, and talk a little bit of, really, on the other side of the country here, this Boston Yankee thing is one of those historical moments, again, where they fight to get in the playoffs and they're playing each other. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.